Well, excellent. We have a treat today. A very dear brother and friend of mine, Mike Stockwell from Cross Country Evangelism. I just want to say a little bit about Mike before he comes up here, just kind of give you an idea of our relationship. I've known Mike for about 10 years, maybe longer. We did a lot of ministry, preaching tours through Scotland, Ireland, England, Wales, I think, right? Mike's got a ministry where he travels full time. He drives all over the United States and also travels throughout the world preaching the word of God. He goes to college campuses. I mean, he's just seen everywhere. And he's got a very robust ministry. But Mike's a very dear friend of our family, dear friend of our church. And he's in town, so when he comes to town, I always ask him if he would come and preach the word to us. So this morning, I've asked Brother Mike Stockwell to come and proclaim Christ to us. So, Mike, why don't you come and do that? I'm grateful to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, good morning. I'm from Long Island, New York, and like Jeff said, our ministry is cross-country evangelism, and this last week I spent in the Austin area. We went out during the week and went to different colleges and universities preaching God's word, and it's really great to be here with you guys today and be able to bring the word here. So let's pray before we start here. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Another day of life, another day to serve you. I ask you to bless this time now. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. We thank you that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and that you hear our prayers, and you're a great and gracious God. So, Lord, bless us now. Let the gospel be preached for your glory, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, if you will, open your Bibles with me to Acts Chapter 3, we're going to read the first 10 verses of Acts chapter 3. Now, it's known as the Book of Acts or the Acts of the Apostles. And some would say it's Jesus Christ's Acts through the Apostles. And what were some of the Acts of the Apostles? Well, one of the acts that the apostles did on a regular basis is that they prayed. In the first chapter of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." We see the same in chapter 2. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." They were very prayerful. So they're a good example of how we should live our lives. Not only that, they also preached. I mean, we know that in the book of Acts is so much preaching that's described. They went everywhere preaching Christ. They preached Jesus wherever they went. So they prayed, they preached. They were also persecuted. I mean, you look all through there, they were arrested and they were beaten, put in jail. So they were persecuted for what they believed that they about Jesus Christ. And then they also, eventually, they persevered. Many of them died a brutal death. They were beaten, sawn asunder. They had very hard lives, but they would have never traded it because they know that they had a better resurrection. So let's read the first 10 verses of chapter 3. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look unto us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. So here we see Peter and John. They are on their way to go pray. The Jews, it was their practice to pray during the ninth hour there. And so they were going there. And it's a good example of, as Christians, how important prayer is. You know, if we look just prior to this in chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost, where Peter preaches a message and over 3,000 people are saved. And now here he is going to prayer because he knows how important that prayer is. So first off, I most of us probably know what prayer is, but I'm going to say, what's the opposite of prayer? So the opposite of prayer is prayerlessness. And to not be prayerful is the sin of pride. See, that's what pride is. It's saying that I can do this without God. I don't need God for this. And that's sinful. And Charles Spurgeon, he said, a prayerless soul is a Christless soul. See, if you love Jesus Christ, then you're going to pray. You're going to be prayerful. It's like the atheist who never prays to God. And so many times we live our lives as practical atheists. We don't go to God in prayer. We live in a way that we do things out of knee-jerk reaction. We don't do things prayerfully. I mean, how many times have you just answered the phone and you haven't really thought about it? And now when you do that, who knows what's on the other end? Maybe it's someone who needs counsel. Maybe it's bad news. And just in the little things in life, we really need to come to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is communion with God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is being able to come before God in communion and to bring our petitions to him, bring our needs, our praises, thanking him. And yet, so many times, we don't go to the Lord and we just do things out of our normal reactions. We need to be prayerful. Horatio Bonar, he said, we're to meet with God before we meet with men. And that was his practice. Early in the morning, he'd seek the Lord because we seek God in the morning so that when we go out into this world, that we're filled with God's Spirit, we've communed with him, so that whatever happens in our lives, whatever adversity comes towards us or afflictions, we feel as though we're covered under God because we've met with him. And we can know that whatever's happening to us is coming from the hand of God, but yet we can go to him. It's the greatest power known. Prayer is so important to the Christian. We can no more be alive and not breathe than we could be a Christian and not pray. So it's so important that we're continually bringing our prayers before God. Think about your prayer life. How fervent your prayers are when you're going through the times of affliction. You seek God wholeheartedly. You are on your face before him when you have problems that are overwhelming and you can't understand how this could possibly work out for the good of God and for his glory. So you go into your prayer and you get before the Lord and you pour out your heart to him. And do we wrestle with God? Do we seek him wholeheartedly in our prayers? Or do we just kind of flippantly give him a tip of the hat in our prayer life and let our prayers seem like they're just hitting the ceiling? But are we going before God and seeking him? Many of the disciples, and you look throughout Scripture, the men of God, they sought God. They wanted to have communion. King David, all the Psalms are about how he cries his heart out to God. He seeks him, and as he's going through a dry and thirsty land, through a dry time of his life, he seeks God. I think of Daniel. When Daniel had they had the ordinance that you cannot pray but to one God. And Daniel, that day, he would go as he did normally in the midst of this. He went and opened up his door, his windows, and he would pray three times a day. In spite of what the king's edict was, he was faithful in prayer to God. Hezekiah, when Hezekiah got the news from Assyria that they were going to attack, he laid out before God, and he laid the letter out before him, and he went on his face before God, and he cried out to God to work for him in his life. Jonah, he cried out from the belly of the whale, the large fish. He cried out for his soul, and he prayed to God. I mean, our prayers are fervent when we're under the heat of affliction. And we need to remember that faith can move mountains, but prayer moves God. And we need to be able to come to God knowing that he can move what's going on in our lives. And he may not take it out of our life when we pray to him. But he promises that in the midst of it, that he will be with us. And that's why it's very important that we come to him, even in the small, what seems mundane, the small things of life. We need to come to him in prayer. And I try to make it like a habit in my life that no matter what I do, that I prayerfully consider God. And even if it's a short prayer, Charles Spurgeon said, a short prayer is long enough. As long as it's a short prayer even to God before I go and do something. I don't want to do things, and then when I get to the end of it, that it didn't glorify God because I did it in my own flesh and in my own mind, and I wasn't prayerful. So we want to bring the small things in our life too, but we also want to bring the big things. When we have big things that are on the horizon that are going to happen in our lives, we want to come before God. And we want to bring this before him. If you're planning a move, say leaving here and going somewhere else, you need to be in prayer. You're buying a home. You want to buy it in the right place. You want to get the right price. You need to come before God and pray to him about these big things, where he wants you in life, where you to work, what job you're going to do, who you're going to marry. All these things are very important. They're big, and we're to bring the big things to God. I like the John Newton. He says, "You are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. You're coming to a God who can do all things. He's all powerful. Ask the big things. Ask the small things, but come to him and do it. Come to God, to Jesus Christ." There's a account of Napoleon. They were fighting a fierce battle, and they were fighting for an island, and the battle was fierce, and they finally won the battle, and they took the island. And now, in the evening, Napoleon was celebrating with his generals, and a young officer came, and he required a audience with Napoleon. And Napoleon let him come, and he spoke to him. And the young officer said to Napoleon, "Sir, I would like for you to give me this island." And Napoleon took out a piece of paper and quickly wrote the title of the island and the deed, and he handed it to the officer, and the officer left. And all the generals were going, "What did you just do?" He said, "He honored me with the magnitude of his request." And that's what we do with God. We honor God with the magnitude of our request. We bring it before him. We're like Hezekiah, and we lay it out before him. The Bible tells us to be prayerful. Many different places. It never gives us a time to rest from prayer. If you look at the scriptures, you see continually, without ceasing. In Philippians, it says this. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind." What a wonderful promise of prayer, that we bring our prayer to God, and he promises that he will protect us, that he will give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. Even when we're going through the valleys, even when we're going through the dark times in our life, we pray and we trust God in the midst of it. We pray without ceasing. We pray continually. In Jeremiah, he says, "Call unto me, and I will hear you, and I will show you great and mighty things that ye know not." Not only are we to call upon God because that's what we need to do, but it's a privilege. It's an honor. It glorifies God when we bring our prayer to God. And we are to be thankful in the midst of our prayers. Think about that life today. I mean, what a wonderful day today that we're here, that we're gathering together. We have a lot to be thankful for, that we're not reeling on some bed with some sort of disease or virus or whatever. And not to make light of that, but we're here today healthy. We're able to hear the word of God being preached. We're to be thankful. He says, Jesus himself, he said, "Ask anything in my name, and you will receive it." He says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open." What a great privilege that we have, that the Lord Jesus gives us to ask him, to seek him, to knock, and he will open it. And we have that privilege, and let us never forget that. That prayer is such a wonderful gift that God has given us, that we can talk to the creator of heaven and earth, the one who holds all things in his hands, and we can come to him and that he hears us. And I look at this verse here as they were going. Now, some people say that when Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, a lot of people think, though, they may have been going to preach also. And that is possible. But they were going to pray. Maybe they were going to preach. They just got off Pentecost, over 3,000. Now, as an open-air preacher, for a guy who preaches, 3,000 people coming to faith is quite a large number. And I think that the fear of someone who preaches and over 3,000 people get saved, it might puff you up, or it might set your standards higher than your normal. So here they are, just coming off of 3,000 people getting saved. And now they're walking, and they see this one guy. One guy. And what do? They quickly get to prayer meeting? No. They stop and they look upon him. And it says, "Who seeing Peter and John to go into the temple asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look unto us. And he gave them heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such I have, I give thee." He wasn't preaching a prosperity gospel there for sure. He said, "Silver and gold had I none." And honestly, what was more important to this man at this moment? It wasn't really silver and gold that was important to him. Maybe he thought that it was. But no, what was important was the fact that Jesus Christ is the one, the power in that name was able to make him rise up and walk. That was what was important. And Peter, knowing that, takes the time to stop and to look upon this poor soul who was lame for many years. They had to literally carry him out there. And he cared about this one soul. And it's a good reminder that even as an evangelist, how important it is to not get too caught up with the size of the crowds or the how many people, but that even the small things, the single person who is like this man. And I look through all through the scripture, you see men who have done that. You know, I look at when Philip went and the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah, that he, the Spirit of God, moved upon him to go out there and to bring before him and listen to what he was saying. And then he started talking to him. He's like, who is this about? And then Philip was able to show him that it was about Jesus Christ. And then he gets baptized, and then Philip disappears for one person. And who knows what the outcome of that man getting saved, what he could have done when he went back to where he was from. Also, we look at Jesus with the woman at the well. He was tired. But it said, you know, the interesting part of that is when you're reading it in John, it said he needed to go through Samaria. It's interesting with the Samaritans, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along very well. It was even common for when Jews were to go through Samaria that they would go around it to get to where they had to go. But this said that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Why? Because I believe in God's mercy and that he's in control of everything, that Jesus Christ is God, and he knew that he was going there for a purpose, to go come to this woman at the well and to tell her the good news. So what happens? He speaks the truth to her. She goes back, and then he spent days there, and it said many people came to believe upon him. So it started with one, and many were affected by it. That's why we can never start looking past. Let's look at what's in front of us. If it's one person or many people, let's take the time. Because that person is created in the image of God. And because they're created in God's image, they have value. Not because of what their potential is, but because they are created in God's image, in his likeness. And then we have here Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John and says, in the name of Jesus Christ. So we need to be prayerful, but also we're commanded, if we go through the scriptures, we're commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. That is the command, the great commission that we have all been given, is to preach the gospel. And that gospel is about Jesus Christ. See, we're to preach the gospel boldly. So we live in a time now where it's not politically correct to mention about Jesus. Now, you can talk about a lot of other things in our culture, but if you mention the name of Jesus Christ, you may have some persecution, just like the apostles here were persecuted. Because what did they do? They went out and they preached the gospel. Now, when I say preaching, not everyone is called to be an open-air preacher like me, to go out in the streets and to publicly proclaim the gospel. Not all of us are called to come to the pulpit and to preach in this sense. This is a calling that God has called. And he's gifted some people to be able to do this, to be able to come up and preach his word. not because there's something in us. It's something that God does to a person. He calls him to come and to preach God's word. But we are all commanded by God's word to be faithful. We are commanded to be, as an access, to be witnesses throughout all the parts of Judea, to the uttermost parts of the world. We are to be faithful witnesses, even in our sphere of life. Maybe you're not called to do what I do, and that's go and preach everywhere in college campuses and wherever people gather. But you are to make an impact in your sphere of life, wherever God has put you. He's put you there for a reason. And it's not as much being gifted, but being commanded to. Yes, some people are gifted in preaching and evangelism, but we are commanded to do these things. So that's what we have to do, whether few or many. The word caruso is to herald. To herald the good news. Oh, to herald
children.
Herald the gospel.
We have the annexes right over here.
And so what we need to do is be faithful in that commission, in preaching God's word and heralding the good news. But once again, when we do it boldly, because that is the only preaching that God owns. He owns bold preaching. We do it with compassion. We care about the people that we're preaching to. But we tell the truth, and the gospel is what we preach. Jesus Christ is the center of our preaching. He is the focus, central point of the gospel that we preach. Paul said, I didn't come to you with the wisdom of men, but I preached unto you Christ and him crucified. He says, I determined to know nothing among you, brethren, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, all through the scriptures, he says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He says, necessity is laid upon me. He preached Christ. He said, I preach Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That is our subject. That is our subject in evangelism. That is the subject of what we are called to do. We're to be witnesses. And how do you be a witness? You tell people of what Jesus Christ has done for you, the great things that he's done in your life and what he's done for your family. And you can go out there with the word of God and not be worried about what you're going to say. You just tell them what God's word says. You tell them what God has done in your life. We have the truth, and we can go out there, and we're to be instant in season and out of season. So that's why we can't say, well, you know, I really don't feel like doing it today. No, when that opportunity comes, we need to, sometimes we may have to bite the bullet and think about what's happening and say, I've counted the cost. I'm willing to put aside my reputation. I'm willing to set aside what people think of me. They may think I'm a Jesus freak, but it doesn't matter. We've counted the cost, and now we go and we're obedient. Because that is what should motivate us, that we are being obedient to God. See, he said, Jesus himself said, he said, they'll know your disciples by the love that you have for one another. And he said, this is how you love me, by keeping my commandments. And his commandment is to go into the world and preach the gospel. So why do I preach the gospel? Why am I faithful in evangelism and preaching just like Peter and John are here? Because I love Jesus Christ and I want to be obedient to him. And by being obedient, when a wicked and perverse generation, when a wicked world comes against this, I still can say, in spite of I'm not looking at the outcome, I'm not looking to get hated upon, I'm not looking to get abused in any way, but in spite of it, I know that it is right, and I love Jesus Christ, and no matter what I go through, even as a faithful preacher and a faithful witness, it's not half as what Jesus Christ went through when he went to the cross. when he was reviled, when he was spat upon, when they drove spikes into his hands and feet, and they twisted a crown of thorns in his head, and they ripped his back open and whipped. We have not suffered the blood. So when we go out there, we can go knowing that we have the power of God, because he preached that. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So though we may not have a gift, we still have the call to go do this, to be faithful in preaching. Our ultimate goal, though, in what we do, when we go do these things, when we are faithful in prayer and faithful in preaching, we can go out knowing that that is what glorifies God. See, a lot of times when we preach God's word and we call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, we can go out there knowing that we're doing what God has commanded us to do. The goal of what motivates us is the glorify God. Yes, we want to see people saved. We love our neighbor, but we love God. And what happens is the fear of our neighbor stops us from going and being faithful, because we're afraid of what people might think or say. But the fear of God compels us to go past that fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and by fear of the Lord men flee evil. So we go out there and we preach to people the fear of the Lord. And ultimately, salvation is of the Lord. We can't save anyone. Only God can save people. So faithfully we go out there and we can preach God's word faithfully, knowing that we're glorifying God because we're called to do what we're doing what he called us to do. And we can rest assured that God is going to save his people, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, nor shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We know that when we go out there and we preach God's word, that his sheep hear his voice, just like this man here. He got up, he was leaping and jumping and praising the Lord. He was praising Jesus Christ. And now, not only that, we have Christ is our central focus, but we have the power of the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in that name. There is no other name under heaven given among men by where we must be saved. The name of Jesus. That name, demons tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. The demons know who Jesus Christ is. They know he's God. They know he's God's son. And they tremble. But yet so many people live their lives and don't think on the name of Jesus Christ. And they don't tremble at that name. But it is the only name that can save. And there is power in that name. This is not just so that this man's ankles got strength, but it is the power of God unto salvation. The name of Jesus Christ. There's life in that name. Jesus said, I am the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the bread of life. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life. So when we go and we're faithful, we have the message that there is life that's only found in Jesus Christ. He's the only name. It's a wonderful name. His name is wonderful. What a wonderful name. He said, and he says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What a powerful name. That he is. That's why he came into this world, to save them from their sin. This man, yeah, he got his legs, but eternal life is so much more important. This life is fleeting. It's perishing. It's going by quickly. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Is that the name that you honor and you adore? As a Christian, that name means so much to us. It's everything for us. Our whole salvation and our whole eternity is resting in that name. because he's God, because he came to this world and became a man and went to the cross, a brutal death that he paid on that cross and was laid in the tomb and then rose again victorious on the third day. And just like that man rose up, someday after we're gone, there's going to be a resurrection. And many people will be resurrected unto eternal life. And they will stand before God's judgment seat and hear, "Well done," where others will be raised up into eternal damnation. And they will be cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a severe thing, to reject Christ, to go and not think about the Lord Jesus Christ and die in your sin with no hope is a terrible thing. But here, Peter and John cared about this one soul. And so should we. We need to be proactive. We need to look around as we're going through our day and look at the opportunities that God gives us to be faithful, to be good stewards. And none of this is to be done in our own flesh. It has to be spirit-led. In my ministry, it's so important. I thank God that 11 and a half years I've been traveling, preaching God's word day in, day out. But I know that had it not been for God's Holy Spirit giving me the ability to preach, giving me the unction to preach, that I'd never be able to do it. I wouldn't have sustained this long. I really feel it was the hand of God and his Spirit that has helped me sustain the pace of what we've been doing, going out in ministry and preaching God's word. So we have to be prayerful in what we do. We need to preach with power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. We have to trust the name of Jesus Christ, that's the name that saves, and that there is salvation in no other. And we need to be faithful, and we need to perform these things. I really believe that we're in a time now where we do need revival in our country. Because we're looking at, if we're looking at what's going on around us, it could look very dismal. It could look like, what could happen? We have an election coming up, and things could change that quickly. And it could go into from bad to worse real fast. And regardless of who you vote for, it can happen in both directions. No, we have no guarantees. Whoever's in the office is not our answer to our world problems. What matters is the gospel. That's what's going to change our society. That's what's going to change human hearts. And then when people are changed, then the world will change because people are changed. It starts in the heart of man. And how do you do that? How as a body would we do that? Well, first, we need to be prayerful. And also, we need to look unto Christ, where our strength comes from. It says we need to throw off every weight and the sin that so easily entangle us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to look to Christ for things to happen, for things to change, if we truly want our world to change. We need men and women who are going to be bold in these days, in these dark days, who are going to stand up and say, "I am going to stand up for Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost." And we're going to be like the apostles, who maybe they'll throw you in jail. Maybe they'll kill you. But you say, "I count heaven more important and the glory of God more important than the things of this world." We're not getting out of here alive. We're going to die. And the question is, when you stand before God, are you going to be able to cast crowns at his feet? Are you going to be able to throw the crowns of what you earned here because of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, because of the zeal he's given you, and that you were faithful until the end. See, that's what caused me to look back at my ministry 11 and a half years ago, to do what I do. I said, Lord, I don't want to waste my life. I want to be used by you. I want to glorify you. I don't want to come to the end when it's over and stand before you with nothing. I want to be able to cast crowns at his feet. I want to be able to say, thank you. Thank you for not wasting my life and letting me waste it, but that you filled me with your spirit. You gave me a purpose. You gave me a focus on what is important. And I went out, and all not because I did it in my own flesh, but because your spirit moved upon me. And day by day, I sought you wholeheartedly in prayer. And I read your word, and I knew what I was doing was right because you said it is. And now, at the end of life, I can come before him and stand there knowing that my life wasn't in vain, that it wasn't wasted, that I redeemed the time. That's why each day is so important. You don't want to keep putting things off. And then you get to the end of your life and all you did was put everything off. And then you look back and you look, your time was gone. No, we need to be focused. We need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We have all power has been given unto us. Jesus said, all authority, all power in heaven and earth has been given to us. Go therefore. Go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. So we have our command. We have the power. We have Jesus Christ, the subject of our preaching. And he tells us, in this world you will have trials and tribulations. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Take up your cross. Deny yourself and follow me. There's joy in that. You know, there's joy in, honestly, in being in the front lines. Now, if God has not called you to the front line, and he's called you to where your sphere of life is, you don't want to be on the front line if you haven't been called. But because God has called me, I know that that's where I'm supposed to be. So I can be where the battle is the fiercest, knowing that it's where God has ordained me to be. And I can have peace in the midst of whatever's going on and the chaos. And I can know that I'm doing what God has called me to do. And there's peace in that. There's the peace that surpasses all understanding. There's that peace that is promised to us when we pray, that he's going to give us that peace in the midst of all these things. So I would say today that I would hope that you would think about what you're doing in your prayers. Are you being faithful in your evangelism and talking to people about Jesus Christ and your witness as we're commanded? And then are you trusting in the name when you're going out and speaking to people? It's very easy to get caught up in other types of subjects when you're out talking about things. I mean, and in a world that you can talk about just about anything, people don't want to talk about Jesus Christ, but we need to get that subject back on there because we don't know how long we have. We don't know how long that person has when we're faithful. And just remembering that our time here is but a vapor. We're here today, gone tomorrow. I want to stay focused on what is important. I want to look at that finish line and know that I'm running hard to the end. I don't want to turn to the right or turn to the left. I want to stay focused on Christ so that I can get there and stand with the saints and worship him for all eternity and bring him glory. There was a woman who was a great swimmer. I'll end with this. And she had swum the English Channel there and back. She did it in one day. She swam one way and then swam the other way. Well, she tried to take on another swimming challenge from one part of California to another, and it was a very far swim. And she was swimming for hours and hours. And as she was swimming, a fog came in, and she kept swimming. And the fog was getting dense, and she couldn't see, and she was getting tired. finally she gave up. And she got in the boat. And as she got in the boat, and as they pulled up, she didn't realize how close to the shore she was. She was hundreds of feet away. And she said, if I would have been able to see the shore, I would have been able to make it. And it just reminds me that we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. I don't know when my end is, but I know who's on the other end. I know it's Jesus Christ is going to be waiting for me. And that's why I want to be faithful. That's why I'm not going to worry about the things that I see here, but I'm going to keep my heart and my mind on things above. And by doing that, I'll be able to run the race with perseverance because I'm looking unto Christ. I hope you do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for our time here again. Thank you for your word, Lord. What a blessing to be able to be here today. And Lord, that we would keep our hearts and our mind on Jesus Christ, the one that we love, the one who died in our place, the one who rose again, who reigns and rules. We do long for that day that we see you face to face. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of what you've given us, these precious moments of time, that we wouldn't turn to the right or the left, but we'd stay focused, that we walk the narrow way that leads to life. Let us be faithful, prayerful in all that we do, and may you get the glory, for you're worthy, O God. We thank you and praise you in this, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ today. Amen.